Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Arizona Good Business Radio, connecting leaders together to have conversations about building strong local communities through doing good business. I'm your host, Thomas Barr, Executive Director of Local First Arizona, a statewide organization advocating for and celebrating locally owned businesses. We're the largest local business coalition in North America, raising awareness of the benefits of building a strong local economy. Our hopes today are to inspire more companies to do good business by highlighting local businesses that are building a better Arizona. Today, I am joined by Yaniv Masjedi, Chief Marketing Officer from Nextiva. Yaniv, welcome.
Thanks, Thomas. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So Nextiva is not just your average phone company, although that is something that you do. You like to, when I talk to your team, you are a communications platform, communications business. Talk to us. What do you do? If I've never heard of you before, what type of business are you?
Yeah, sounds good. So Nextiva is a business communications company, just like you said. We started off with a core product, which is business phone service. But as the business grew and we realized there's a greater opportunity to solve a bigger problem in the world of business communication. So we have a platform called NextOS, and it's a truly integrated and unified platform that allows businesses to prospect, engage, and manage their customer relationships. Mm. So it's one platform essentially for all your business communication.
Okay. And so what is that problem in communication and business that you identified?
I'll tell you about it, and I bet you've experienced it. So pretty much it's, you know, more and more we're communicating with our teammates or clients via different channels or applications more than ever before. So back in the day, it used to be, you know, in person, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, a letter or email. But now it's, you know, online chat, surveys, social media, email, and the list can go on and on, mm-hmm. Of just different ways to communicate. And all of those kind of channels are not integrated. So we buy one product for CRM, one product for phone, one product for email, one product for surveys, chat, mm-hmm. so on and so on. And then the data or the information is all in separate places. So it's really difficult to know what's going on in your business. Mm-hmm. So we've tried to really build a simple, yet powerful, but really simple and easy to use platform that brings communication in one place.
Wow. And so what does that feel like as a business owner? Does it interact with my social media and my CRM and all this? Does it bring it really all into one place?
Yeah, so it brings it all into one screen, all your communication. So you still may use different applications,
okay.
but the information and the conversations come into one place.
Okay.
So you'll actually know how your customers, where your customers stand. You know, are they happy? Are they upset? Are they about to renew? Are they going to cancel?
Mm, okay, super interesting. And talk to us a little bit about the industry of being in the phone business. What is that like? Because, I mean, from my perspective, I've just seen over the last 6 years, and you and I have talked about this before, I've seen every local phone company get acquired by some other massive non-local company. And Nextiva has not only stayed, but thrived and grown. You have 1,000 people working for you now. How yeah. have you? What is that like?
Yeah, so Nextiva started. We signed up our first customer in May of 2008.
Wow.
Super tiny office.
Great timing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, interesting timing. Not too far from where we are here.
Oh, really?
The studio. So not too far from Tempe Town Lake.
Okay.
And a tiny, tiny office. And Thomas, our CEO, he had the idea for Nextiva. And we realized that the world of business phone service or business phone communication was messy. You know, the companies wouldn't treat their customers well, let alone they wouldn't treat their partners well or their employees. It was just, you know, there's a huge gap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we set out and we said, if we can provide a, you know, a good product, but on top of that, a great employee experience and a great customer experience, we'll be here for the long run. And literally since day one, we've never had, you know, an exit strategy or any plan to, you know, let go. We want to, you know, foster and cultivate a great, you know, business that ultimately grows and expands. So we started with just a small team. Today, over 1,000 team members. And
wow.
It's hopefully going to continue.
That's a super unique business model today. What do your, I mean, you've built a, you've worked in and been on the leadership of building a great, strong Arizona company and technology company in general. What do your colleagues in that space say? Do they say you're crazy for not building an exit strategy type business? Because that's mostly the model that a lot of tech companies grow as large as you can, become attractive as you can so that you can sell your business to whoever you're trying to disrupt the market for. What is that?
What's next, right? Like it's, you know, you sell the business and then what?
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, we believe that we're solving a big problem, and hopefully we're going to continue to be of value and a great service for our clients. And we know that there's a ton of opportunity. Why should we stop?
Mm-hmm.
Rather, the way we look at it is we really want to build a great business that will last for as long as we can imagine.
Yeah.
We want to be here for the long run, not just thinking about, you know, the common, like you said, belief, which is let's start a business, let's make it really attractive, and then try to, you know, move on, use that money to do something else.
Sure. Sure.
That's not the approach we've wanted.
Right. Yeah. That's super. I love that. What's that been like doing that in Arizona? Especially, I mean, tech is usually associated with Silicon Valley. I know you're super proud of building a business here. What has that journey been like?
You know, Arizona's special. It's definitely under the radar when it comes to tech. You hear, like you said, Silicon Valley or many of the other major markets where tech companies usually reside and grow. But we view Arizona as an amazing place to not only start, but also grow a business. So, you know, Nextiva's been able to, you know, throughout its journey thus far, we've been able to hire amazing people, but also capitalize on the opportunity to grow out here. And, you know, we also like the underdog story, right? Mm. Like, I think there's a common belief that you should start and grow a business, like you said, especially in technology in Silicon Valley,
mm-hmm.
or let's say New York or Boston or LA. But, you know, we kind of view ourselves as the underdog,
mm-hmm.
and we like that.
Do you feel like you've influenced a new mindset among new entrepreneurs in this space who may come into entrepreneurship and technology or whatever industry it is with that mindset, and then see your leadership and see that, oh, wait, you actually can grow a thriving company and not sell and continue to grow?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so, because you know, we want a strong community. We want Arizona to grow, and we want more great businesses to start here and expand and thrive. So I'd hope that the Nextiva story is of inspiration, or, you know, any advice or personal kind of guidance that we can give. I hope it helps businesses expand, because, and I think this is why, you know, just even having this conversation is great, because, you know, other businesses knowing that, you know, 12 years ago, Nextiva didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was really no customers, no business. And, you know, it started off with an idea and just commitment and daily work. And, you know, little by little, mm-hmm. the business grows.
Mm-hmm. So 2008, customer number one, 2019. And I'm assuming one or two people working for the company, probably not making a lot of money at the time.
Yeah.
Today, how many customers and employees do you have?
So I don't have the exact customer count. It's in the tens of thousands beyond. Employees. I also don't have the latest.
But it's
count.
Over 1,000.
Yeah, well, yep. The team members well over 1,000, and you know, every month or so, the when I look at the numbers, it's a pretty good rise.
That's quite the transition. How have you handled honing in the culture with that rapid growth over 10 years?
So the you know, frankly, first, it's not as, you know, perfect,
yeah.
as. You know, I hope it would be, but I also think there's a beauty to the idea that, you know, culture and, you know, the team environment, you know, it never ends. You can never just think, you know, we're going to have one culture initiative and the company's going to be an amazing place to work forever.
Mm-hmm.
It requires daily focus and commitment. But I think there are a few things that have helped Nextiva.
Mm-hmm.
First and unquestionably foremost is just hiring and the hiring principles. We've really focused on, you know, surrounding ourselves with people that make the company better. Something I always like to say is like most companies, most people, I'm sure you hear this a lot, Thomas, like people are like, you know, we want to hire culture fits. We want people to, you know, come in and be a great fit for our mm-hmm. company. The way we've kind of viewed Nextiva from the start has been, we want culture ads. We want people that come in mm-hmm. and make us stronger, make us better. And with that, it just, you know, each and every person that joins the company, you know, makes us better. And don't get me wrong, there's been, you know, challenges as well. But sure. for the most part, you know, we're moving in the direction of constantly hiring great people.
Yeah.
And then fundamentally, you know, it's, you know, a great business, great product, great story. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think, you know, the DNA of the company where we, there is no exit strategy. We want to build a business for the long run and do things the right way. Not just thinking about kind of the short-term decision
yeah.
that maximizes the happiness or the, you know, essentially the goals of, let's say, an investor or a group. We're really thinking about what's best for our team, what's best for our customers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That hiring great people is so hard.
It's not easy.
I've been talking to so many people about it because I get a lot of feedback, you know, traveling the state, talking. We're at almost 4,000 businesses in Local First now. And so it's, you get this
That's
wide
impressive,
range.
Because, I mean, Local First has expanded quite a bit as well since we started talking.
Just in 6 years, we grew from 1,800 to almost 4,000 businesses of all sizes. And so right. have all these conversations and, you know, there's some businesses I run into and they say, you know what, I just can't hire millennials. I don't know how to do it. You know, there's disconnection with it. But there's lots of really innovative, creative minds out there that tell me, you know what? I would rather hire somebody that's been working in restaurants for 12 years and works really, really hard and doesn't have any knowledge about what we actually do because I know they've got a strong work ethic than a college student that had a 4.2 GPA coming out of, you know, university because I know that they know how to work. Mm-hmm. What do you look for when people land at your doorstep coming into Nextiva? Is there certain type of qualities or things that you're looking to nurture?
Yeah, fundamentally, there's always three things I personally look for. And I think it's something that really has helped Nextiva tremendously. And I would say at Nextiva, we believe in this. First is you want to hire people that love their area of business. They, you know, we each, you know, whether it's finance or, you know, people or HR, mm-hmm. formerly, or sales, whatever it is in business that you really, you know, want to focus on, having a deep and sincere passion for it. So caring about that area and mm-hmm. wanting to be great. So always hungry to learn, wanting to surround yourself with great people in that kind of area of business. I think first and foremost, there needs to be that passion or interest.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, let's say, just someone that's like, oh, I'll give sales a try.
Yeah.
You want someone that really has kind of strong conviction and love for their area. Second is just a go-getter mindset, the attitude of wanting to get things done, not necessarily waiting to be told what to do or you know, taking it easy because they finished most of their work. Mm-hmm. You know, work is never done. Just like we're talking about culture, right? Culture yeah. is never done. Almost everything we do in business, there's always an opportunity to refine or improve upon what we've done. So having that mindset of accepting, okay, we can be much better.
Mm-hmm.
And third is just, you know, great people. We want to surround ourselves with great people,
mm-hmm.
you know, people that are positive, treat themselves with respect, but also everyone around them with respect. And, you know, when you get those three kind of elements,
yeah.
Like you said, the GPA, the school you went to, the numbers of years of experience you have, you know, often doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've been told it since we were young, surround yourself with good people, right?
Right.
And I think it's ever more important in business too, right?
Yeah. And personally, without a doubt, personally is also important.
Right.
You want to, you know, have a good circle of friends and people that you know, are around regularly, and same with work. You want to be around people that are, you know, that love their area, love the company, and, you know, want to do better, mm-hmm. make the company better.
What are your thoughts on, you know, when people talk about people are looking for work or developing themselves? There's people that find jobs. There's people that find their careers, and then there's people that find their purpose. When I speak to you, I very much feel, and I know this for myself, that, you know, I'm doing something that I found my purpose. And there's this unending blend of business and personal. I don't think of what I do for what I get paid to do is, you know, a flip of the switch that I turn off at 5 p.m. and on at 9 a.m., right? It's becomes a part of who you are. You do this because of who you are. What are your thoughts behind the, you know, work-life balance? I call it a work-life integration, because you shouldn't be working for something if it's not a part of who you are, right?
Right. Integration is a key word, that fluidity or harmony that's needed between work and life. I mean, it's especially today, you know, where so much is integrated, and you know, frankly, in many professions, there's been an increase in the ability to work from anywhere, mm-hmm. with the rise of, you know, software and technology. Right. So that integration is critical. I think it's not easy. Like, you know, you very fortunate to have found that kind of purpose or what you love. You know, I fell into the world of marketing and mm-hmm. the story of Next Diva, and I'm very thankful for that. But I think, you know, if as for people that haven't found that, let's say, and are working that job, it's, you know, at first I think it's never giving up, never settling. Mm-hmm. It's constantly, you know, trying to identify what is that, you know, purpose or career that is more, or at least more, hopefully most meaningful to mm-hmm. them. But that integration, man, so important, because if you don't love what you do, it becomes tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you talked about, the go-getter attitude too, that you look for. Yeah. Do you follow Gary Vee at all?
Not much.
A little bit. I just started following him because he's just so brutally honest.
Yeah,
he's fun to watch.
Yeah, he definitely loves to, I mean, he is the definition of a go-getter.
Yeah.
I mean, his story starting off with Wine Library, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, started really, I mean, he also started super small, mm-hmm. and just, you know, continued to push, yeah. the daily work. And that's the thing. It's, you know, people like Gary Vee or businesses that have grown to great sizes, you know, we start small.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I run across his things every once in a while, and I just more recently started getting into it. And there's one of his videos where he's speaking at a conference or something like that. And it's always so funny because people ask him these like questions, and he kind of gives them these responses like, why are you even asking me this? Right. And he, in one of these videos, says, you know, I'm going to give you the secret to answering any question anybody here may have today. G-O-O-G-L-E. The answers for you are out there. You just got to go find them, right? So I think that there's definitely those types of people out there that will go get it and go after it. And, you know, you can kind of tell when you come across them.
Yeah, and, you know, we're sometimes in business or in working in certain industries or careers, we're taught to think a certain way. You know, the day ends at 5 p.m., or, you know, wait to be told what to do, mm. and kind of follow this kind of order of, you know, items or mm-hmm. checklist of work. But that go-getter mindset, I mean, it's whether it's the entrepreneurial mindset, whatever we want to call it, it's just that attitude of recognizing you can always be better.
Right.
None of us are as good as we think we are. We can be better.
Yeah.
And, you know, charge ahead, push forward.
Yeah, that's cool. So when I'm out there in the community speaking to different businesses, reading, seeing things, you know, there's a rise in whatever you might call it, socially conscious business mindsets, good business, conscious business. And I'm interested to hear your opinion, because I view your company as a truly good business. What you're doing is, like what you're saying, you're solving a problem. You exist to solve a problem, not to make profits. That is part of...
It's a byproduct.
Yeah, it's a byproduct, but it's not your purpose, right? But I see a trend in a lot of companies that don't quite get that. And they reframe their marketing so that they're kind of maintaining the system that they operated in before, but now they appear like they're socially conscious so that they can stay in that system. Do you come across that? Do you?
Oh, dude, I have a tough time with that.
Yeah.
Like I see it so often where, you know, look, you see brands, especially larger brands, mm-hmm. that are maybe notorious for, you know, just, you know, not necessarily like nickel and diming their customers, yeah. treating their employees just as numbers and their customers just like numbers. And then you see them, you know, come out to the community and, you know, give back. And look, don't get me wrong, giving back to nonprofits, I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
But do it in a way that's more kind of meant to be for the good and, you know, improving the community, not necessarily like trying to change the story or the picture of a brand.
Right.
Often you see brands that are maybe in a position of crisis or dealing with something really negative, you know, becoming super active with their giving and nonprofit, mm-hmm. Like philanthropy work. And I consistently have a tough time with that.
Yeah. Do you think we're turning a curve in more businesses proactively changing their ways? Or do you think that we are seeing just more businesses wanting to appear better?
No, I think truly businesses wanting to change their ways. Now, what's sparking it? That's a good question. I think, you know, organizations like the conscious capitalism movement and just like, you know, so much being discussed around the importance of a fair and, you know, good workplace, mm-hmm. and just company practices. Mm-hmm. But also there's more visibility today than ever before. You know, social media, the internet, tons of sites. You know, if you're not doing good, people are going to call you out.
Right.
I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like consumers, businesses, like we're not stupid.
Right.
We can see through the ingenuineness, I guess, of those marketing campaigns when they
come. So it has to be in your DNA. And you can try to fool people for a while, but it just doesn't last.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that Nextiva proactively does to own that? Beyond your what I believe is, you know, your existence is to solve this problem of communication for business and to make it better and easier and to provide the opportunity for more businesses to have access to the tools that you provide. What other things are ingrained in your company that speak to that?
Yeah, about 3 years ago, it's actually coming up, we had an employee at Nextiva that, you know, brought to my attention that it's, you know, October's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, She called us out saying, okay, why isn't Nextiva doing anything around breast cancer awareness? And my initial response or reaction was, you know, you're right, we should be doing something. We just haven't really thought about it, frankly. And I asked her, what do you think we should do? And she said, give me a day. So
you're like, oh my gosh.
So the next day she comes back to me and she's like, I reached out to the Mayo Clinic. This was already October. This was like maybe like October 8th. So into the month. And she's like, you know, we talked about a partnership with the Mayo Clinic where they would bring researchers and doctors to come educate Nextiva's team around what they're doing in breast cancer research and, you know, ways to really address, you know, breast cancer. But also, you know, this is a great opportunity for Nextiva as a brand to really get out there and, you know, talk about, you know, breast cancer awareness, raise awareness and, if possible, money. So her idea was, you know, Nextiva should essentially give back, you know, certain proceeds from our revenue that month. Mm-hmm. And let's kind of rally the company around, you know, breast cancer awareness. That same day, the next day, we updated, you know, our website, our logos, our materials to including the pink ribbon. Mm-hmm. But then also just really quickly implementing programs where we brought Mayo staff to Nextiva's office to speak to our team and started a push within the company where we started to raise money. And Nextiva raised approximately around $25,000 that month for the Mayo Clinic. And then Thomas, our CEO, he has a foundation, the Gorney Foundation. They matched you know, what we raised at Nextiva. So we presented a check of over $50,000 in that first, you know, month to the Mayo Clinic. And then we pretty much realized then and there, you know, Nextiva should be doing more. Like, why should we stop with breast cancer awareness. And, you know, in fact, we should continue, you know, supporting our community and also getting our team to really get out there and support nonprofits. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. And we started a program at Nextiva. We call it Nextiva Cares. And every month we pick a nonprofit, typically a nonprofit that's, you know, has a presence or is doing something in Arizona. And we try to find ways to support them. And it's not always just, you know, handing a check or giving mm-hmm. money. It could be any sort of kind of resources or people, whatever we can do. We really try to dig into identifying what are some of the challenges the organization is facing. Mm-hmm. Because as you know, it's not easy operating or running a nonprofit, and we try to help.
That's great. So do you take the steps to always bring in the organization to share with your team about what they're doing before? Or is it kind of like just approaching them and saying, what is it that you need? Or is there an education aspect for your team as well that comes into the fold?
No, it's really, it's pretty simple. We get a variety of suggestions from our team around nonprofits that are meaningful to them that they want to see Nextiva, you know, support. We try to prioritize and figure out which ones we can actively support. We try to get an understanding of, you know, some of the gaps the nonprofit is facing and how Nextiva can help.
Yeah.
And then we make the decision, and literally we go in every month with a new nonprofit to support.
Cool.
But it's a team effort. A lot of kind of, I would say, work and prioritization beforehand, trying to figure out where to aim, who to work with. But it's been great. And I think the nonprofits, you know, enjoy the support, but also it's really meaningful for our team. And it's a great way for the team to really get together and do more.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting. So 12 years, you've obviously grown a lot. How do you take that growth and vision future growth? And what are those plans, and how is that developing for you guys right now?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I wish I can predict it. You know, the goal is to continue to grow, continue to be a great business and do good for our customers, our team, the community. Definitely, we recognize that there's still a ton of opportunity. Nextiva today is very focused on the United States. We serve businesses in the U.S. There's no doubt that we see an opportunity to support global businesses, and we see that as a growth opportunity for us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, continuing to grow in the markets we're in, and especially, you know, Arizona, it's home for us. Mm-hmm. And I have no doubt that, you know, Nextiva is going to continue to do great things out here. There's still a long way to go. As far as we've come in the last, you know, 12 years or so, there's without a doubt a tremendous amount of opportunity, and that's exciting.
Yeah. So what about your perspective on the way businesses just operating and doing business are transforming from a marketing perspective? I mean, 2 years ago, Facebook was still the main thing. Now, I mean, members will join Local First and be running their businesses on Instagram, like without a website. It's how do you see things continuing to evolve from a marketing perspective for business?
Yeah, so I think from a, like you said, the world is changing and rapidly evolving. Like, uh-huh. We don't need to go into that. Everyone right. is living it and seeing it. But I think fundamentally, as a, let's say, if you are a marketer or you do marketing for your business, there's something that, you know, I hold dear and view really important, which is understand where your customers are. Like the language they use, but also how do they find businesses like yours and make sure you're there. Mm-hmm. So, that could always be evolving. You know, it could have been Google at one period, and, you know, pretty quickly, like you said, it's shifted to Instagram.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you definitely need to have a presence, I would say, on both Google and Instagram. But it's really case by case, business by business. But fundamentally, the principle holds true is understand where your customers are.
Mm-hmm. Do you have things that you think about in your off time or on your on time, whether it's a struggling business or a business that's, you know, really thriving and they're about to hit their grain? If, you know, they were sitting in front of you, like, what advice would you give to them as someone that's gone through it yourself?
It's a good question. I think as...
This might be two different scenarios.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if it's advice for a business that is, you know, growing and just trying to really hit stride and, you mm-hmm. know, grow faster, mm-hmm. I think fundamentally it's sticking to the principles of the business. You know, fundamentally, I think one thing that's been really valuable for Nextiva has been having that marathon mindset. You know, making decisions that are right for the business for the long run and thinking about what's best for the customer and our team rather than what's best for profit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, holding that philosophy dear to you and just living it every day, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. And I think in many businesses it's tough, but if you really can have that, you know, marathon mindset and really focus on just doing the right thing every day, profits come.
Yeah. Is there anything you do personally to keep your mindset focused on, you know, the purpose-driven mentality to remind yourself why you do this?
I think, you know, man, there's definitely a level of just appreciation and, you know, thanks I have to being in this position. Being given the opportunity to be a part of Nextiva and grow the business is something that's, you know, immensely special and I know not common. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think it's something I could, it's definitely not something I could take for granted or take easy. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, every day I'm thankful for the opportunity and I remind myself that, you know, it's just, you know, you can lose it.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, stay committed or focus or do the right thing. You know, it's nothing's guaranteed. So mm-hmm. There's without a doubt, and I've seen many people both close to me in life and not, you know, be in great positions one day and then lose it pretty quickly.
Sure.
And that can happen to the brightest and the greatest people. So, you know, this could be no different. So I definitely have a mindset of, I know there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of room to grow and get better. And I know that by staying focused and working and doing the right thing, I can make, you know, myself and the company better. So I can't necessarily chill or take it easy because, yeah. You know, opportunities like this are just, they're not around forever.
Yeah. One life, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Love it. Anything you're reading right now?
Good question.
Or want to be reading?
Want to be reading?
Probably more of those.
That's a, and if I go through my like the books app, it's
right.
it's mind blowing. You know, nothing major comes to mind. I definitely like a number of books in the space of behavioral economics.
Oh, really?
So behavioral economics, you know, the study of essentially people and how we do things and how to essentially get people to do the right thing is something I'm really interested in. There's a Harvard professor, Francesca Gino, that has written a number of books. Always a fan of her work. But usually if it's in the realm of behavioral economics, I'm really excited about it.
I love that. Anything with behavior, the psychology behind what we do.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listen to NPR. God, his name I always butcher. Yankar Vedantam, I believe. He's the guy behind The Hidden Brain.
Okay.
He's my favorite person every time they bring him onto the show. All he does is do case studies on the psychology behind human behavior in different scenarios, whether that's business or reactions to events and things like that. And he has a book called The Hidden Brain, and it's just so fascinating. The types of things they showcase, like how people sociologically interact with each other based on what's happening in their surroundings that can be predicted, right?
So now I'm excited to read The Hidden Brain. I got another book on my list.
There's one that I have read. It's called Switch. And it's about how to make change when change is hard. Mm-hmm. And it walks through everything from how people successfully quit smoking to how you convince somebody to like purchase your product, right? And they walk you through like these steps that like have to exist in every scenario for you to change a habit that you have. And it's so interesting because it's so applicable to everything that you do, right? Whether it's a personal habit that you have or, you know, a professional way that you want to change.
Right.
So yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, it's great. And now I'm going to have to switch to the list as well.
You have to let me know when you check it out.
Deal.
Well, cool. What should people know what's coming up for Nextiva? If businesses want to get in contact with you, where can they find you? All of that.
So Nextiva.com is our website. We, a few things on the horizon. One big thing, we have a conference every year, Talking Stick Resort. It's called NextCon. It's a conference really geared towards Nextiva's community, so especially our customers and partners. However, we really try to bring the best minds in business to Arizona. We'll have the co-founder of Netflix, Rand Fishkin, great marketer. A number of great minds will be coming to Arizona to join us at the conference. And Nextiva, we're slowly working on, actually not slowly, at a really good pace, working on building a new building. So,
oh, really?
We'll be moving not too far from our current office on Chaparral and the 101.
Okay. So more space for you guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
A little more breathing room.
So more room to grow.
Nice. That's exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
And when is the conference?
November 3rd.
Okay.
November 3rd. Yeah. Coming cool. up, Talking Stick Resort.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I went to the first one.
Yep. NextCon 16.
So, yeah. Excited to come back. That's great. Yeah.
You got
to
do it.
So thank you, Nani, for being on the show today.
I enjoyed this. Yeah. Always nice talking to you, Thomas.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So for those of you listening, you might not know that Yaniv was a speaker at our inaugural Arizona Good Business Summit in 2019. We are bringing back the second annual Arizona Good Business Summit January 22nd and 23rd, 2020. Phoenix Convention Center, downtown Phoenix. We'll have over 35 keynotes, breakout sessions, networking opportunities.
It's an awesome event.
Yeah, we're so excited.
Yeah.
So you got to come. We just announced it. I see you there. We hope that today you are inspired by listening to Yaniv and all the local leaders we bring on the show for redefining what it means to do good business. Let's thank our sponsors, Conscious Capitalism of Arizona, Max 6, and Phoenix Business Radio X. This is Thomas from Local First reminding you that if we want to build a better Arizona, we need to connect deeply with the local businesses that make us proud to call this place our home.